Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2013 Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, February the 16th, 2013. Carla Batard is a speaker of this service teaching on Tools for These Times. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
And I remembered, he interrupted me. I was praying, and God interrupted me to say, why are you coming to me with that? Okay? And I remembered, see, again, you have the Word in you. The Holy Ghost can bring it to your remembrance when you have need of it. I remembered, God, you interrupted Moses one time. Where was that? So I found it. Exodus 14. Now I'm going to set the stage. You know the story. Moses delivered them out of Egypt. But the Pharaoh thought, what in the world have I done? I've let all the slaves go. We got to go get them back. So he's headed back to get the Pharaoh and all his chariots and his horses and his army, and everything was going to get the people back. And the people are freaking out because, you know, they can hear the rumble. They're coming, they're coming, they're coming. You know, Moses, Moses. And Moses is like, he didn't know what to do, so he's going to be holy. Fear not. Fear not. Stand still and see the salvation. You know, we really look at these things like really hey, he was scared to death. These people were ready to kill him. He had led them right into a trap. Fear not. But then he started prophesying. See, because when you get creative, you start speaking with inspiration. You know, you're up against it. He says, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. He didn't know what was going to happen. Really, he didn't. We think that because he was Moses. I'll never forget my aunt. I was telling my aunt, when my son left for his mission, his Mormon mission, his bicycle tour of Idaho, I told him, that's a good place for a potato head. And about deception, one time I told him, Wade, you are deceived, son. Mom, don't you think I would know if I was deceived? I said, no, that's what deception is. Okay, verse 14. And the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, why are you crying out to me? Same thing he said to me. Why are you crying out to me? Next scripture. But lift up thy rod. Remember? He gave Moses that rod. He put his authority and his power in that rod. And Moses is holding it like a decoration. Lift up thy rod. The rod means, this is what the rod means, for ruling, see, a scepter, a staff. Webster says, okay, a scepter is a staff borne by a sovereign as an emblem of authority. Royal people or imperial people have it. It shows their authority and their sovereignty. And God gave that to Moses. He's given it to y'all. He's given it to us. We have it. That's not being arrogant. That's the truth. We need to receive the truth, and we're not going to see anything happen until we know that and begin to step out on it. Now, the first time I stepped out on it, I probably sounded like Moses. I was going to take dominion over the weather. My mother-in-law is scared to death of weather. She'll come, y'all are under a tornado watch. Thank you. I go out on my porch. I thought, you know, I'm going to take dominion over that weather. Jesus did it, didn't he? Didn't he say, peace be still? And it's stilled. So it's approaching. I go outside. I never know, north, south, east, west. I just look for the dark. I put my hands up in the air, and I said, I take dominion over that approaching storm right now in the name of Jesus. Now, I had a golden retriever. He's like, who is she talking to? He comes running over there. Are you talking to me? I mean, see, Satan will say, you look like an idiot. Even your dog thinks so. Who are you talking to already? What are you doing? Who do you think you are? You know, that's what Satan will say to you. I'm going to tell y'all what to do with that in a minute. But anyway, I take dominion over the storm. I bind what comes with the storm. Damaging winds. I bind damaging lightning. I bind hail. I forbid the formation of tornadoes. And Lord, we will accept the rain, but no flooding in Jesus' name. That's it. Was that hard? No. No. Learn to take dominion. So now, okay, I come to Lake Hamilton. My car doesn't break down because I take dominion before I leave. Over the fowl of the air and over everything that moves upon the earth. And in Jesus' name, I command them to stay out of my roadway. You know, that highway, that long stretch. Michael say, where are you? I'm on that long road. From Texarkana to the turnoff is 100 miles of straight road. Okay, so lots of deer. You see lots of deer. Deer can cause some bad wrecks and stuff. So I take dominion over the fowl of the air, everything that creeps upon the earth, command them to stay out of my roadway, and I speak supernatural, mechanical, and physical preservation over my automobile. Now I'm speaking multiplication over my gasoline and mileage. Now I'm saying, and Lord, I believe you could transport me there without having to drive 5.5 hours. That one I'm waiting for. I'm having good cheer. I am being daring, bold, and courageous. And I'm expecting it one of these days to just get there. I am. But let me tell you something. Whenever, like I was here one time, I won't say who said it to me. Stay face for them. I won't bully. I won't bully. But anyway, I was leaving here, and there were tornadoes going on all over the place. And the person said, well, do you think you should be leaving? Because there's tornadoes everywhere. I said, I took dominion over the road. Oh. I'm serious now. You can take dominion. Not because I'm saying so. He gave it to you. Use it. It's time for the church to be successful.
Victorious.
Thank you, Tammy. I have taught you well. It's time for the church to be victorious, to be vitally active, energetic, and forceful. Okay. So, I could tell y'all some really awesome stories about dominion, but we're not going to do that since I don't have time. But in Luke 19:13, I'm going to read that to you. We're closing up dominion. Do y'all get the dominion, though? Do you get the dominion? Okay. Luke 19:13, to end this part. And I'm sorry, ladies, we're going to stay. Okay. They talked about the 10 pounds, the 10 talents. Okay. Well, this was the 10 pounds of the long journey. And as they heard, in verse 11, 19:11, and as they heard these things, he added and spoke a parable because he was near to Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. See, they were like me. I'm expecting it to immediately appear. When he said the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that means it's within your reach. This is at hand. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered to them 10 pounds. And he said unto them, occupy till I come. Occupy. See, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We didn't get saved to find a good house and have fine furniture and drive a nice car and go to church every Sunday and go to the baseball games with our kids and do all this stuff and do nothing for Jesus. Occupy. What does that mean? It means we're supposed to be. See, he left so that he could send that power to all of us so that his works, he said, the works that I do shall he, the believer, do also. And greater works. Why? Greater number of people. Occupy till I come. That means to take hold, to take or hold possession of, to reside in as an owner. Wow. Occupy the earth. Occupy till I come. We are supposed to be establishing the kingdom of God. So when the king comes, he'll have a kingdom. We have some occupying to do. We're waiting for God, and he's waiting for us. Have you ever gotten your things mixed up and thought, well, I thought you were going to pick me up. No, I thought you were going to pick me up. So they're both waiting to be picked up, and nobody gets picked up. That's what's happening here. We're asking God to do stuff that he's given us the power and authority to do. And we're wondering why he's not answering our prayers. I'm sorry. I'm ready for this thing to get on. I'm ready for it to work. I'm tired of going to church and hearing another good service about what things ought to be happening. Let's do it. Haven't we heard enough? For 2,000 years we've been hearing these stories. It's time to do the things that Jesus told us to do and not just be hearers of the word. And you know what? We have put people up as the one to do it. Oh, this deliverance minister or that deliverance. No, every one of us. When your children misbehave, bind and break the power of rebellion in the name of Jesus and command it to go. I did that one day. God said, stop being polite to the devil. I said, what? He said, you're too polite to the devil. And I am. I have been too polite to the devil for years. So, that same day God told me that. I'm out on the porch with my granddaughter. And I have this little vine, and she's picking all the flowers off of them, and she's bringing them to Grammy. I love them. They're tiny. It's like a jasmine. You know, and she's bringing these little tiny flowers, little bouquets. Oh, thank you, Grammy. Grammy just loves them. So she goes, pick some more. See, that thing you praise gets repeated. Well, after a while, it's time to stop. Well, so I told her, I said, okay, that's enough flowers. Grammy doesn't need any more flowers. And she gave me a look like, I'll decide that. She was two. And so she's looking at me, and she's bringing her hand back around to get some more flowers. And I had a little book on the swing with me, and I said, look, Kaylee, look, Granny's got a book. And God said, you think you're going to distract the devil? Oh, I'm being polite to the devil. So I just put the book down, and I said, it's always my right hand. Mike says, don't point. Listen, Jesus pointed. And he said, if I with the finger of God, he's in me. And it's always the right hand, if you'll notice. It's never the left hand. It's the right hand of God. He's going to uphold you with his right hand. You know, Jesus sits on the right hand of God. It's Jesus that they're talking about. All these things that are being done by the right hand, it's the right hand man of Jesus. He's the one. But I just pointed at her and I said, in the name of Jesus. And she just came to attention. I really was surprised that she didn't go, you know, because it's authority, you know. And it's kind of scary when you use authority. When you get it, that you have some. And you use it with authority. It can be scary to who it's directed at. Anyway, so I said, in the name of Jesus, I bind that spirit of rebellion and I command you to get out of her. You will not be in my grandbaby. Go in the name of Jesus. And she's going, she said, amen. She did. I kid you not. I just busted out laughing. But hey, she was in agreement. She came in agreement. And listen, I have to tell y'all this because this little girl, Well, I broke all the curses off of her when she was born. If you've never heard the Secret Sins tape, you need to get it. It's on the Abortion Spirit. And my daughter talked about an abortion. It was in my family. I was plagued with the spirit of abortion. I didn't even know I had it till I read the book, till God told me to read the book that I didn't want to read. But anyway, I broke all those curses off of her, and she is just a delight, precious, hungry little thing. We were in Walmart the other day. We were going down the book aisle. I was looking at Mike Reed's these series of books, and I was looking for a new one. And she says, "Look, Grammy, I have that Bible." It was a children's Bible. And I said, "I know." She said, and Mike had told me that she reads her Bible every night. And I said, "Grampy told me you've been reading your Bible." And she said, "I do. I read it all the way to the end." And I thought, "Really?" I was so shocked. She said, "Well, I read a little here and a little there, and I read the end." But, you know, so I told her, I said, "Kaylee, let Grammy tell you something. Did you know that inside of you is another Kaylee? But it's your spirit, Kaylee, your spirit from God. And what would happen to you if we never gave you anything else to eat?" She said, "I would die." I said, "Yes. And if you don't feed your spirit, Kaylee, it won't grow either. So you want your spirit to grow. And that's the food. Your Bible is the food for your spirit, Kaylee." So Mike said he went in her room the other night to kiss her goodnight, and she was reading her Bible. And she was telling Mike that, "I'm feeding my spirit, Kaylee, because Grammy told me that my spirit, Kaylee, needs food, but it's out of the Bible is what my spirit eats." Out of the mouths of babes. Really. She's going to be a mighty little woman of God. She gets dominion. Because at Lake Hamilton last year, Danica asked me to speak to the kids, and I told them about dominion. So one of the ladies, the older women, come from the back and said, "You know, they've been having a drought in Hot Springs. Why don't y'all pray for rain?" And I said, "Good idea." The lady goes back and I said, "We're not going to pray for rain. We're going to take dominion over the elements. And we're going to call for the moisture to come and drop as rain on Lake Hamilton." So we took dominion, and the second day it rained. They will never forget that. They got it. And this year, if I get the opportunity, I'm going to tell them how to take dominion over bullies. Because it's a demon spirit. And anything that you know is not from God, you can bind it and break its power and command it to go. They need to know that. They need to know that. Okay? Okay. Children will get it because they haven't been programmed otherwise. Okay. So we are to be occupying. Okay? There was more. Okay? Now we're going to go to number two. Jesus had dominion over the storm. He walked on the water, multiplied the fishes and all that. See, he was demonstrating the kingdom of God to the disciples. They just didn't get it. They got some of it. They did some healing along the way, and they cast out some demons, but they didn't get all of it. You know what? I understand the scripture now, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Do you know that there is, the kingdom of God is a realm within a realm. It is a spiritual realm that exists in this earth realm. But we live in the physical world. And so we don't know about the spiritual realm. And I've been asking God, show me the kingdom. You know I will tell everybody where it is if you'll show it to me. But you know what he showed me? You know when Hagar, Abraham, well, Sarah said, "Get her and Ishmael. I will not share his inheritance with him. Isaac is the one." And I always like to put this in the air. God said to Abraham. Abraham was upset. That was his child. Well, it wasn't Sarah's child. It was Hagar's child, and Hagar let her know it every day. And so God said to Abraham, do what your wife said. I like that. See, sometimes we're right. Do what your wife said. And so he did. So Hagar and the boy, he was about 13, 14, they go, they're out. Their food is out. Their water is out. But guess what? She didn't want to watch her son die just like we wouldn't want to watch our sons die. So she puts him over there, and then she goes way over here. And he's crying because there's no water, no food. And it says, God heard the cries of the lad, and he opened Hagar's eyes, and she saw a well of water. That well was there all along in the kingdom of God, where all our needs are met. Lord, open our spiritual eyes that we can see what you want us to see. There was the well. God didn't just go like that. No, he just opened her eyes so she could see what was in the spirit realm. That's exciting to me. That's why they could go get the money out of the fish's mouth. I can imagine which. Hey, I want y'all to go home and look in your mailbox. There's going to be a $100 bill. I just wonder how many of y'all would really look in the mailbox.
You know I would.
And there would be a $100 bill for you, Tammy. But I'm not saying that. I'm just saying. Yeah. That's right. Hey, I would go look. Exactly. Good for you. Good. You'll find it. That's right. That's exactly right. One time I did a teaching on receiving and taking what is yours, what is offered. I put a $50 bill on the little table in front of the pulpit. And I said, somebody said, who's the $50 for? I said, anybody that wants it. Nobody got up. I think they thought... They thought I was kidding. I mean, really, nobody got up. I would have been the first one there. And I was flabbergasted. I thought, man, nobody wants this $50 bill. And it's just there for the taking. That's the principle. It's not going to float to you. When Peter said, Lord, if that be you, bid me come to you, he said, come. He didn't float in a seated position. It required him to do something. He had to stand up. He had to throw his leg over the side. You know? And we just sit and wait. We're just waiting on God, waiting on God. And he's up there going, I've already done it. I've already done everything. He said, it is finished. It is finished. Get busy. Occupy. The second one is his name. He's given us permission to use his name. It's in his name. Now, when you're taking dominion, I do use his name, but I'm not sure we have to when we take dominion. But I do it just in case. It says, in his name we'll cast out demons. He doesn't say, in his name we'll take dominion. He gave us dominion. Use it. But I always say, in Jesus' name, just in case. Okay. But he's given us his name. Matthew 18:20 says, of those gathered in his name. 21:9, of those who come in the name of the Lord. Luke 10:17, subject unto us through thy name. That was when he sent them out to heal the sick. And they came back and they said, the demons were even subject unto us. And everybody skims over that the demons were subject unto them. Don't be glad about that. Just be glad you're saved. I know, they minimize that. Don't miss that. Hey, he gave them power. And they were flabbergasted that it worked. Here's another one now. Don't stone me. Let me finish these. Okay. Mark 16:15, we've already read all those. Jesus said, in my name, he's given you permission to use his name. John 14:13, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name. Okay. Ask in his name, according to his will. Okay. I say, if you start asking things that are not in his will, you're crossing over into witchcraft. That's what we call charismatic witchcraft. You're a Christian, but you're using witchcraft. So we put a nice name to it. John 14:14, if ye shall ask anything in my name. John 15:16, ye shall ask of the Father in my name. Acts 2:21, shall call on the name of the Lord. Now, I want you to look at Matthew 7 pretty quick, because we don't ever hear this part of this either. We only hear one part of it, and it's to put fear in you. 7:21, you'll recognize it. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name, cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Jesus, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. My brother said that scripture gives him nightmares, because it makes him feel that he can't be sure that he is going to heaven, because he's a believer. But if many are going to think they're believers and they're not going to make it, and Jesus says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, he's scared that Jesus might say, depart from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. What I said when I read that was, wait a minute, Lord. If you never knew them and you called them those that worked iniquity, then how did they cast out demons? How did they prophesy? How did they do these wonderful works in your name? He said, it wasn't the people. I honor my name. Remember the disciples said, we saw that group over there. They were casting out demons in your name, and we told them to stop it. And Jesus said, no. If they're not against me, they're for me. But see, it's the name of Jesus. We try to make it too difficult. There are a lot of people who do things in the name of Jesus that are not saved. And don't be worried about the sons of Sceva either. They were all sorcerers. They didn't say, in the name of Jesus. They said, in the name of the Jesus that Paul... I mean, that's like me saying, in the bank account of Sharon and Monty Mulkey, I buy this car. You have no authority to do that. That's why they got the demons beat them up and stripped them and ran them out. They didn't know who they were. But you know who you are. Never be intimidated by a demon. In the name of Jesus, that's all it takes. In the name of Jesus. When I heard on the radio a Christian man talking about, and the scenario was the spirits that could be transferred from the parent to the child in the womb. For instance, if a mother is depressed, that got my attention. That's me. Katie was 5 years old. She cried every day on the way to school. I was depressed when I was pregnant with her. Well, what do you do about it? The guy that was hosting the show, well, what would you tell them to do about that? He said, well, you know, when the child is asleep, go to the bedroom door. You don't have to wake them up. They don't have to hear you. You're talking to the spirit. They're not hard of hearing. You can say, in the name of Jesus, you spirit of whatever. Get out in Jesus' name. I did that. See, simple. Green onions. I went to the door and I said, in the name of Jesus, you spirit of depression, oppression, sorrow, grief, crying, all the things that I knew that I had when I was pregnant with her, and she never cried again. I mean, I thought, wow, there is something. That. And there is something to that. Okay? So we have his name. Third one, binding and loosing. Binding and loosing. Matthew 16:19. We all know this. 16:19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's the key. Here's the key. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. That's the key. You extend mercy, you get mercy. You forgive, you get forgiven. You give, and it's given unto you. See, these are all keys. He showed me this, though, about the binding and the loosening. If Tammy comes to me and she is upset and she needs a listening ear, she needs my time, she needs my heart, she needs compassion, she needs understanding, she needs counsel, and I bind it, then it's bound in heaven for me. If I'm generous, generosity. See, it's a key. But we can also, like Dr. Null said, we have the power to bind and they're bound. You may not feel like it's done, but in the spirit, things happen. When you speak, things happen. You may not see it. You may not feel it. And the devil will surely tell you, nothing happened. Nothing happened. But you can bind and loose. The crocodile thing, he showed me in the dream. I bind you in Jesus' name. Okay? Here's a testimony. My oldest brother and his wife adopted a little boy when he was an infant. Okay? He grew up. He was raised in church. My brother was a Methodist preacher. He grew up in church. He knew about Jesus, heard about God. They said prayers with him every night and everything. But when he became a teenager, he decided he wasn't so sure about all this God stuff and prayer and church and all this stuff. And he, you know, he kind of just wouldn't go to church anymore and stuff like that. Well, now this has been known since they adopted him, but see, we keep things secret. Well, his grandfather, his natural father's father, was a Jew, an Orthodox Jew. When I found that out, I said, well, for heaven's sake, I'm going to start binding the Antichrist spirit. They have rejected Jesus. That's what the Antichrist does. And so I begin to bind the Antichrist spirit in him and loose the spirit of truth. Loose salvation. Loose the Spirit of God. Loose the kingdom of heaven in his life. And my sister-in-law didn't know that I was doing this. But she told me the other day, she said, I was so excited I asked about Patrick because he's gone through some stuff too. He has the bastard curse. And she said, you know, all the time Patrick will ask me to pray because he knows his mama believes. He didn't, but, you know, he'll still get the benefit if she prays. But he said, I'm praying about blah, blah. And I said, praise the Lord. See, binding that Antichrist spirit made a difference in his life. So we can see spirits. You will know them by their fruits. You can pick out those spirits and you begin to bind those things. I'm binding the spirit of bondage from my children. Ephesians 3:22, God showed me this recently. It talks about the spirit of the prince of the power of the air that worketh in the children of disobedience. Whoa, that one's working in my family. So now, who were dead in trespasses and sins, you he hath made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which in times past walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit. See, it's a spirit. The prince of the power of the air is a spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience. Ephesians 2, verse 1 and 2. So I begin to bind the spirit of the prince of the power of the air. I do that sometimes whenever you ever been trying to talk to somebody on your cell phone, and usually you don't have any problems in those areas, but all of a sudden you can't talk to them. It's breaking up. It's all. I bind you, you spirit of the prince of the power of the air. I bind you and break your power in Jesus' name. And then it clears up. See? If you don't know, you can't exert power over them. That's why I'm telling y'all this. So next time these crazy things, could this be, I wonder if this could be, I'm just going to give it a shot. You know, a lot of things that I have discovered in the spirit realm have been by accident. Or by on purpose, but just, I'm just going to give it a shot. And it works. Because he's given us power and dominion. Okay, the next one, I really wish I could go into all of these things, but... Okay, the next one is power, Luke 10:19. You know this one? See, we just need to be told these things and look at them in a different perspective. 10:19, behold, I give unto you. Who? Us. Power. Oh, but he was talking to the disciples. Yeah, but those who believe on their word, that's us. I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. And you look those words up, it means like, crafty people. See, we're not talking about spiders and snakes. We're talking about spirits. And over all the power of the enemy. All. There's nothing that you don't have power over. So we need to start using it. See, we already have the victory, right? But there's a fight to be fought. Paul said, I fight the good fight of faith. There's a fight to be fought. And we are the warriors. Yes. And we're gonna go with force and keep going after it, and we're not going to stop until we get it. And we will be looked at as vitally active, energetic, and forceful. The church should be making an impact on the world instead of the world making an impact on the church.
Amen.
2 Timothy 4:7, he said, I fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. 1 John 4:4, for whatever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith. Now we're coming to the conclusion. Aren't y'all happy? I know y'all are so dead tired. I was dead tired before I got here. But I was revived by the testimonies. Faith. Now, everybody here has situations in their lives. And I don't care what your situation is, these steps will cause you to be an overcomer. I need you to turn to your Bibles for this one. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Some of y'all have heard this before. Are you numbering? Okay. Oh, well, I quit at number 3. Just put the word in big letters. Okay. Power was one. Dominion was one. Binding and loosing was one. His name was one. And now it's faith. Romans chapter 4 says, okay, look at verse 13. Some of this I'm going to just kind of skim through because it kind of lays the foundation of what it's talking about. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world, not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. That promise was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they who are of the law are heirs, then faith is made void, and the promise made of no effect, because the law works wrath. For where no law is, there's no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that by grace, to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Now, if you go back to the Old Testament and you look at where he told Abraham, I am going to give you a seed, and many nations are going to come out of that. And then one day, he got in God's face twice about that. Twice. I don't even have a son. You keep saying that, but I don't even have a son. Okay? Again, a little while later, he mentions the seed, and Abram says, but I don't have a son. I have no seed. I'm going to have to give my inheritance to one of my servants. And God, he doesn't say this in the Word, but I can see him saying, enough is enough. You know what? I'm changing your name. I am changing your name. And every time you say your name, you're going to be proclaiming that you are the father of many nations. So from then on, he had to go around saying, I'm Abraham, and everybody's going, you know, names mean a lot. They have meaning. So when he was saying Abraham, he's calling those things that are not as though they were. See, religion, error, has put a bad light on that godly principle, and religion does that. They ruin all the good things of God. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to make all of this off limits. You better not even talk. Like one time somebody said, oh, yeah, you're one of those faith people. And I said, yes, I am. I thought it was a compliment. No, he was referring to those name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, glab it. You know what I'm trying to say. Name it, claim it, blab it, grab it groups. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't name it and claim it, you can forget it. It's your inheritance. If I had an inheritance by somebody who died and I don't go claim it, it's going to go to the state. Somebody else is going to get it. You better start claiming what is yours. And God said, keep in your mouth what I've told you. Yeah, but Lord, you said all three of my children were in training for the ministry. I laughed the day you told me that. But I thought about it and I said, Lord, I believe that. They are in training for the ministry. And when I was in, he said, live and move and have your being in my presence. Be about what I've called you to do. Leave the rest of the mess to me. I can do that. But what do I do with my broken heart, Lord? He said, set your affections on things above. Come up here. You're seated with me in heavenly places. I want you to look at something. Look over there. There they are, finished. I see them finished. That's faith. What does it say? The just, that's us, shall live by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Huh? That sounds like a conundrum. You know? How is substance of something you're hoping for? Substance? Your hope, there's nothing there yet. But faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. How can that? This is not the evidence of things not seen. I see it. That's the world we live in. We have to see it to believe it. And in the days we live in, you better not even believe it if you see it. Because it might be in front of a green screen. I could be standing right here in front of a green screen and put a picture of Paris by the Eiffel Tower. And it looks like I'm at the Eiffel Tower. You can't believe what you see. Not in the world we live in, no. But see, faith, the kingdom is different than the world. So he said, come up here and look. There they are finished. I see them finished. He said, this is the promise. Here's the manifestation, but you're right here. And I thought about it and I understood what it means to live by faith. Oh, I said, oh, so you want me to behave, live my daily life like it's already done? Yeah, that's what living by faith is. And the very next day, I got up to go to Jasper, and it was foggy. I hit a dense fog. I had to look at that white line over here and slow way down. I couldn't see Jasper. It was down there. I was on the road to Jasper, but I couldn't see Jasper. That's how faith is. You're headed that way. You can't see it, but you just keep on going. You just keep on going, and you'll get there. And be faithful in the waiting. See, we think, right, Jerry?
Well, I've been praying for him for 20 years.
I said that to the Lord one day coming up here about Wade. Lord, he's been in that church for 10 years. He said, how long did Abraham wait for Isaac? Oh, 25? Am I going to have to wait 25 years? Oh, well, I guess as long as it happens, you know. But don't live every day grieving. Stop rehearsing the hell. Start living by faith. We're supposed to be examples to the world of what having God in our lives is. But we spend most of our time mullygrubbing.
Well, I just feel so this and that and the other.
Yeah, Satan's in your flesh. Tell your flesh. Tell your flesh. Start speaking to your flesh. I don't live by flesh. I don't live by sight. And this is coming up. So calling those things which are not as though they are, as though they were. Abraham, father of many nations. Done deal. Just go ahead and claim it. Done deal. So only listen to this. Verse 18. Who against hope, in a hopeless situation, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, what? He considered not what? The facts. What are the facts of my life? Wade's in the Mormon church. Katie had another baby out of wedlock. Kyle just got out of jail again. Those are the facts. I consider not. I'm looking that way. They're finished. I consider not. Now, I still pray for them. I bind, I loose, do all that. But I consider not what happens along the way. Live by faith. He said it. I believe it. That settles it. The next thing, these are the steps, okay? In a hopeless situation, you hope. Never let go of your hope. Consider not the facts. See, Abraham had to consider not that he was 100 years old and Sarah was way past childbearing age. He had to consider that not. If you're going to believe the things of God, you're going to have to consider not the facts. And he staggered not at the promise of God. See, I staggered. I raised him up. That day, God, he interrupted me again. I was crying. He said, as long as you live by sight and circumstances, this is where you're going to find yourself, in a crumpled heap, crying.
How will this ever get better, Lord?
Hopelessness. And he said, as long as you live by sight and circumstances, this is where you're going to find yourself. And I went, what? I had to stop crying to think about it. You can continue to live by sight and circumstances, or you can stand on my word. Oh, them are fighting words. I did that. I raised them up in the way they should go. I did that. He said, then stand on my word. That's when he said, come up here and look. See? I saw. He staggered not at the promise. I staggered. This is the promise, and it's not true. What else am I believing that's not true? See where that'll take you? Stagger not at the promise. Believe. He calls that unbelief. When you stagger at the promise, through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That's why Abraham was imputed and called the friend of God because of his righteousness. He believed God. Finally, he believed God. He made a mistake. He had Ishmael, but it didn't change his plan for Isaac, see? That's where the devil, you have messed up now. That promise God gave you is over with. See, no, it's not. If he can make you believe that. He's looking for someone who will agree with his word. I've messed it up. That promise is no longer mine. That's what we do with that. No, you have to live by faith. Calling those things that are not as though they are. Prophesying. Every day I say, now here's what I'm going to tell you. What when Satan comes, because he will, nothing happened. You didn't get delivered of anything. If you think, hey, that demon is still there, I'm going to show it to you too. See, then you start thinking, all he can do is project a thought. If you receive the thought, then it comes out of your mouth. And then what you say out of your mouth, you do. Remember, God said, and God said, and God said, and I say. So you have to do what David did with Goliath. This is the last thing I'm going to say. In 1 Kings, oh, and I haven't even gotten to the angels. Lord, you didn't stop the clock. Because there's angels. We have angels. But see, we won't go, I'll just tell you, God gave me a dream one night about David and Goliath. I had to get up and go read it. What did Goliath do? He bullied David. But David said to him, you come with a sword and a shield. I come in the name. See, David knew God. What does it say? Those who know God, know their God, shall be strong and do exploits. Mighty deeds, miracles. Right? David knew God. And he was telling Goliath, see, he wasn't intimidated by that giant. Do you know, I looked up the word giant. What do you think the word giant means? A big old guy, right? Like the Jolly Green Giant. You know what the definition of the word giant is? A bully. That is in the concordance. I was flabbergasted. So now everywhere we see in the Valley of the Giants, they were just bullies. They may not even have been big. You know what Satan uses? A spirit of magnification. He puts a big old magnifying glass on everything he wants you to fret over. No, you just bind that spirit of magnification. Consider it not. Don't be distracted. Stay on course. If I didn't stay on course that foggy day, I'd have ended up in a ditch. You got to stay on course. Don't be distracted. Beware of distractions. When they come, recognize it as a distraction. When you pull away from the focus that God wants you to be focused on, you're in trouble. Don't let him distract you. When he talks to you, this is what David did. He said, Goliath said, I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to feed your carcass to the fowls of the air. Hey, you come to me with a sword and a shield. I come in the name, you know, in the name. This day I'm going to kill you. I'm going to cut your head off. I'm going to feed your carcass to the fowls. See, turn the table. That's what I learned from that story. Ooh, I can do that. I've got all three of your kids. Praise God. Let me tell you, what does it say in John? He's a liar. He is a liar. So if it's a lie what he's telling you, then the truth is just the opposite. So when he comes to you with those lies, you start praising God for just the opposite. Satan won't stick around very long. He hates that. If he can't get you to worry and fret and fear and give up and tuck your tail and run, he's not going to stay around. Take your authority and begin to use it. Turn the table on the devil. Enough being bullied by the devil, right? Amen. I'm done. Y'all can go to bed. Lord, I loose upon them. I bind every spirit of fear, every grasshopper spirit, every intimidation, every shrinking spirit, every spirit of unworthiness. And Father, I just loose upon them what? The strong, the courageous, the daring. I release the daring, the strong. I release the permission to use your dominion, power. All those things. And Father, right now, I ask that you send your Holy Ghost right now and fill every person to the full. That they will never again doubt who they are, and they will recognize, I ask you to open their spiritual eyes, that they will recognize Satan when he shows up, and they will stand up and use the finger of God and take their authority and bind him and break his power and command him to go in Jesus' name. Now, I send you forth. Go forth. Occupy. Live your life. Stop letting life happen to you. Live the life that God created you to have. In Jesus' name. I love y'all. I'm sorry I kept y'all up so late. Thank you, Jerry.
What was the title on that? This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.